Hi, friends. You're in for a treat today because we've got author, podcaster, and former New Ager, Doreen Virtue, back on the podcast. And she's got not one, not two, but three new books we're going to talk about next.
Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Hey friends, welcome. Thank you so much for listening, watching, and sharing the podcast. And of course, always, we are so blessed by your prayers. Let's bring in our good friend, Doreen Virtue. I love all the work that she's been doing and just waking people up, giving people ways to discern. Doreen, welcome. Good to see you again, sister.
Thank you, Brother David. It's so great to be with you. And hello, everybody.
Yes. So you were recently at a women's event in at the Ark Encounter. It sounded like an amazing event. Can you tell us about it? Because we weren't allowed to go as guys. So.
No, it was women only. It was heavenly. And I got to meet some of my online friends like Michelle Leslie, our mutual friend Amy Spreeman. And just it was a celebration of discernment. That these were 3,000 women in two back-to-back conferences that really care about biblical truth. It was so refreshing. So we were talking openly about The Chosen and Taylor Swift and Jesus Calling and things that normally offend people who are professing Christians. And these women were saying, more, we want names, we want to know details. Why does this contradict scripture? It was heavenly, David.
It must have been so encouraging, the fellowship and just being able to just strengthen one another. And you want one of your devotionals, which we'll get to, not yet, but one of your devotions that you wrote, your devotional books, Discernment to Avoid Deception for Christian Women. That's available on Amazon, DoreenVirtue.com, but is Amazon the easiest place to get that?
Yeah. Yeah, David, what I did is I took a lot of my seminary papers that I wrote in seminary and also blogs I've been writing, and I've put them into book form on Kindle and also paperback on Amazon. And one of the reasons is because these last 8 years since I've been saved, I've been working so hard to get my old work off of Amazon. And I can see that people will continue to sell used copies that I have no control over. There's bootleg printers. My ex-publisher has no control over this. So I thought, well, I'm just going to outnumber the old books with biblically solid books for Christian women who are hurting because of my background in psychology. You know, I have a BA and an MA in psychology. I was a psychotherapist before I was saved. And then my master's degree from Western Seminary in biblical and theological studies. So I'm doing biblical counseling through these books based on the discipleship that I've been doing the last 8 years with women coming out of New Age deception. And this is the most joyful work. I don't even call it work. I've ever done. I'm working from 10 a.m. till midnight every day writing because I feel like there's so much to say. I just turned 67 2 days ago, and so I feel like my clock is ticking. I just want to get a lot of books out there on these topics that I once believed in, and I even once used to teach about, to warn the bodies, particularly Christian women, that these are encroaching in our church, and it's just really upsetting to see how much the church is using the New Age lingo that I once used.
So you've got a YouTube channel at Doreen Virtue and many, many great videos, great topics too to help people, a lot of on discernment and a lot on New Age. And I want to ask you about one in particular you did about 2 months ago, three Christian books to avoid that are actually New Age. And you've got Christian in air quotes. Yeah, cool. We know there's a lot of those in Christian bookstores, unfortunately. Yeah. But what are these three books, or is that giving it away? You just want to direct people to the video, or you want to tell us what they are?
Yeah, the video's pretty short. You know, I could give the titles, but they really should know why. But I'll tell you, one of them is The Shack. So many Christians say that, oh, that book comforted me. I remember my mom was reading it. Of course, she was a Christian Scientist. And it's just the video, it's only 26 minutes. It goes into why the shack is unbiblical. And then there's a book by Richard Rohr. Actually, all his books should be on there, who a lot of people are following into apostasy, because Richard Rohr is a universalist, a panentheist. He pushes the Enneagram, which no Christian should be using. So I'm just concerned that because a book is sold in the Christian section of Barnes & Noble, or some Christian friend gave them that book, that they should be comparing everything to Scripture for everything.
Mm. Amen, sister. Back to your devotional now, how to avoid New Age and New Thought deception. This is a relatively, not recent, but it's more people have been actually explaining what that is. It's a biblical, your devotional is a biblical and practical guide for Christian women and biblical discernment to avoid deception. So we have had you on before. We talked a lot about New Age, and we understand most of our viewers and listeners understand and are discerning about that. But what about New Thought, Doreen? Can you bring us up to speed on that a little bit?
Yeah, I was born and raised in New Thought, David. My parents actually were not able to conceive a child for the first 7 years of their marriage. And this was back in the 50s when you had a baby, you know? Yeah. And so my mom, she was a third generation Christian Scientist, but she was also going to Unity and Religious Science. There's three New Thought churches. So she put a prayer request at the local New Thought church, and I was conceived within a month. So I was considered to be a New Thought miracle, all air quotes. It's something that, like I said, I was born and raised in. I was in the New Thought for 33 years, a member of the First Church of Christ Scientists in Escondido, California, and then a member of the Unity Church of Tustin, California, and a member of the Religious Science Church in Huntington Beach, California, along with the people who wrote Chicken Soup for the Soul were also members at my church. And New Thought I was raised in was all about your thoughts create your reality. And then when I was picked up by the Whole Life Expo to be a teacher on their circuit in the 1990s, that's when I segued into New Age that I was in for 26 years before God graciously saved me. Wow. And opened my eyes. And I went to seminary and got a master's degree. So most of my life I was New Thought. And then when I look at my old work, David, a lot of it was new. I was teaching Christian Science to people, and I was using, I was using biblical language. I was one of the only New Age teachers who would talk about the Holy Spirit and Jesus. But of course it was not in the biblical way. It was in the New Thought way. Wow. New Thought I was raised in was a false Christ. I was taught growing up that Jesus was a created being who was simply a role model for us. It hurts my heart to even say that. And then God was this source, this mind, very much like a Hermeticism and Egyptian spirituality. So I didn't know who God was. I didn't know who Jesus was or the Holy Spirit. I was a student for over 20 years of A Course in Miracles. So I was following that version of the Holy Spirit. And so I was deceived, and unfortunately, I was passing the deception along. I was the epitome of 2 Corinthians 11:15. I was a servant of the devil who appeared to be a servant of righteousness. But as soon, of course, as I read the Bible, I read Deuteronomy 18:10-12, and the Lord convicted me of my New Age sins and my New Thought sins. That's when I repented and gave my life to Jesus in 2017.
Wow.
Every day I thank him so much because I didn't deserve it. I was hellbound, and he, in his mercy and grace, chose to save me out of that dark, so dark. Once you're saved out of New Age, it's like you're crawling out of the sewer and you didn't even know you were swimming in the sewer. It's so dark. People minimize New Age. They say, oh, it's subtle or it's passing. Yeah. It's no longer a thing, but it's growing. One of the reasons I wrote this new book about biblical truth about goddesses is that I'm shocked and so concerned, David, that Wicca is the fastest growing religion in the world right now. And I was a part of that in the New Age, where I was a part of goddess worship. I wrote about goddesses and taught about them. I would go to goddess temples in all over the world and kneel down and light candles to these goddesses and ask them favors, and the favors would come. That's the thing. That's that counterfeit of the devil. And so women who I met at Wicca ceremonies and goddess temples, they were like me. They'd been abused or hurt or abandoned. I had a wonderful dad in terms of being a provider, but he was completely absent emotionally and intellectually. He was always at work. And I don't blame him. That was his era.
Yeah.
But a lot of us had father hurt that went to goddesses and rejected the patriarchy. Now, I was kind of a freak at the goddess temples because I still loved Jesus. And I called I called God Mother Father. And that's what I was raised to call him. I repent for that. But that's what the Christian Science New Thought Church calls God. But my concern is that women who've been deeply hurt and wounded by a man have rejected Jesus and God because of the masculine pronouns in the Bible. And they either try to spiritualize that they call God she, which is so sad.
Wow.
And or they just don't have anything to do. In fact, in Wicca, you don't even mention the devil because that's considered a Christian term. So you reject everything of Christianity in Wicca. And these women they're on the broad road to hell and they do not know it because they think they're doing good. They think, well, we're not like witches. You know, we've taken a coven vow to only do good.
Oh, my goodness. That's deception right there.
So deceptive because they think that these are real goddesses from Celtic spirituality. They even pray to Roman Catholic female saints like Mary and Mary Magdalene. And they think that they are talking to real beings when we know what the Bible says is that these are the devil masquerading as an angel of light or as a goddess. Right. We know all the Bible talks about the idols are they're deaf and they're mute and they're dumb. They can't hear us. They can't answer prayers. These women in Wicca also pray to the universe, which is flipping. That's Genesis. That's a Revelation. Romans 1:25. 26 about serving the creature instead of the creator. So much sin in these circles that I used to be in, and I'm so concerned that it's the number one growing religion. I don't even want to call it a religion. It's a cult, really.
Yes.
Ironically started and popularized by a man who wrote a book on this and started it. And they don't reject him.
Interesting.
So a lot of illogic in that.
Yeah. Well, we know Wicca is very popular, especially since Harry Potter, that brand just ballooned and in the public schools with young people, the younger generations. I don't know if you're aware of this because I did this study on the NEA, the National Education Association. They had Harry Potter lesson plans. So they're teaching... Wicca is they've got a 501c3 because they're a nonprofit. So they're in the schools, they're teaching, you know, witchcraft and other things. You got mindfulness, you know, Buddha, there's some classes, you know, talk about yoga for relaxing, the five pillars of Islam, but no biblical Christianity, Doreen. No Christian. It's very interesting when you took out in the early 1960s God, prayer, and the Bible from government run schools, something had to fill that void. We need to take a short break in a minute or two, but when we come back, I want to dive into the first book you mentioned, Truth About Goddesses, Biblical Truth About Goddesses, Wicca, Witchcraft, Idolatry. I want you to help us connect some dots in the last 100 years, at least in America, what's been happening with this females, the celebrities and wanting power. And like you said, they're against the patriarchy. You see this in entertainers. 10 years ago out in San Francisco, they had a Beyonce mass at a church in San Francisco. Anyway, we'll talk about that because we see this in entertainment. It's all about women and the feminist movement and power. But before we do that, I want to mention your other devotional, Praise God in the Storm, Comforting Encouragement. It's a 30-day devotional for Christian women. Tell us about that. I know it must be very, very encouraging and uplifting for women. And this is brand new, like within the last month or two.
Yes. Thank you, David. Praise God in the Storm is the result of me going through deep suffering. You know, I've lost so many people in my life, my parents, the father of my children died, you know, my first husband, and just a lot of suffering that I've gone through. And so I allowed myself to go deep in the suffering while writing the book. so that it's authentic. So I can talk to women who are going through any kind of hardship. And I presented the biblical teachings, the verses that have lifted me up out of suffering or allowed me to go through it with trust in the Lord. And knowing that he allows us to suffer. He allowed David, for instance, to be persecuted by Saul and to be completely afraid for his life for all those years living in caves. And he allowed that to happen to prepare David for his being the king and the battles that he would face. And in the same way, God is with us in the storm. He holds our hand in the storm. He's not abandoning us like I thought sometimes, like, why aren't you hearing my prayers? I hear women say that a lot. Yeah. He does hear your prayers. And sometimes your prayers is you're going to stay in this. And in this book, we go into when it's a consequence of prior sin. I've certainly gone through that. When it's God disciplining you, because God disciplines those he loves, just like we teach our kids not to run into the street when there's traffic. And so it's this appreciation and this praise of God, no matter what we're going through. And of course, we'd prefer never to suffer, but that's just not how God created this world. He allows us to suffer to help us to increase perseverance, endurance, to draw us closer to him, to increase our faith and trust in him, all sorts of things that he builds in us during each storm we're going through. So it really is an act of love when he allows us to suffer. I know it doesn't feel that way. When you hear people say, count it all joy, you know, it doesn't really help in the moment, does it, when you're suffering?
No.
But it really is what it comes down to, whether you're going through financial stress, as so many of us are right now, or you're going through a health challenge or a loss or in relationship, it doesn't matter what the challenge form is. Underneath, it's the same process of God being with you and that we are to praise him. In fact, if I could just say one more thing.
Sure.
When I was a New Ager, we held the belief that any kind of suffering you did was your fault. You attracted it with your negative thinking. And so we thought we were the creator.
Yeah.
But when I was first saved, and this would have been back in late 2017, 8 years ago, and I started to suffer because of losing friends and family. Now that I was a Christian, people were really angry with me, and they were not holding back telling me that they were angry with me. And so I was suffering. And what I read in the King James Version of the Bible in Isaiah, I think it's 43:6, about the ashes for glory. And in this, it says to exchange the spirit of heaviness for the spirit of praise. You exchange it. And I thought, that's it. It was like the Holy Spirit illuminated that passage. And what I started to do is sincerely think of everything I was grateful to God about, of course, starting with my salvation, that he would save a wretch like me. And I got on my knees and I was praising God, not as a tool, but sincerely from my heart, everything that I could think of to be grateful for, that I'm alive, you know, basic things. I have a roof over my head. Thank you, Lord. You feed me. I have my children and such. And it was just like the verse said, David, as I was praising God, the spirit of heaviness just lifted.
Wow.
And I find that a lot of times I'm in heaviness because I'm thinking about myself. I'm wallowing in self-pity.
Yes.
Or I'm angry with the people involved. And there's that, it's like you can't breathe because it's so heavy, where our focus needs to be on God always and praising him. Again, praising him even if we can't understand the blessings, the hidden blessings in the storm we're in.
Yes, I'm glad you mentioned the spirit of heaviness, a very real thing. We've got to take a brief pause with Doreen Virtue. We'll be right back on Worldview Matters.
Today's show is brought to you by Harbingers Daily, world news biblically understood. Stay informed at harbingersdaily.com.
All right, friends, we've got a lot of books that are available. It sounds like something I want to get, especially the devotional for women. Doreen, do you think I'd be allowed to get Praise God in the Storm? That sounds like something that I would like to look at, too.
If you don't mind that I call you sister throughout the book.
Okay. But I'm sure there's things we could glean. But let's go to the biblical truth for goddesses. And this is going to fly by. We're running out of time. But help us connect some dots. What the Bible really says about goddesses, idolatry, and witchcraft. So explain this fascination with power, women coming to power, getting power, putting down men, regaining control of themselves, the universe, being their own gods. Tell us about this book.
Yeah, Biblical Truth About Goddesses is my response to hearing so many women online saying this is going to be really blasphemous. This is an alert. Guard your heart as I say this, but there's women all over the internet saying that Jesus used witchcraft to heal people.
Oh my goodness.
And that they do, and they say therefore it's a that the Bible condones witchcraft and teaches witchcraft. They say that. This is a popular movement of calling themselves Christian witches. It's unbelievable that something that's so condemned so clearly in the Old and the New Testament, and witchcraft and sorcery, of course, are hand in hand. And we read in Revelation 21 and 22 that those who are sorcerers will be cast into the lake of fire for eternity and not allowed to go to the new heaven. So this is a salvific issue. I'm so concerned about this that I wrote this book, Biblical Truth About Goddesses, for any woman who is hearing that you can have power and control through using witchcraft or becoming a Wiccan or praying to goddesses. And that includes the Roman Catholic saints too, that I used to pray to. I went to Lourdes to pray to Mary, and I revere Mother Mary. I mean, she's the earthly mother of our Lord and Savior, but I'm concerned about the unbiblical practices that I saw at Lourdes. And such. So this is a book for women as a wake-up call to compare what the Bible says to what they're doing. You hear the phrase bantied about, the divine feminine. We heard Katy Perry say this recently with that whole space thing that she was involved in, whatever that was. She gave credit to the divine feminine for giving her the strength to go through whatever that experience was. And divine feminine is an absolute occultic term. Mm-hmm. I used it in the New Age. It is elevating your gender, your sex. It is putting down men subtly or overtly by saying this. And it's taking that women, I think we really do have a kind of unspoken communication with our babies who can't talk yet. You know, so some people call it women's intuition. I don't use that term, but you have this ability as a woman to tune in to your baby, to know if they're cold or hot or hungry or change diapers, etc. And so this is the part that they're elevating with divine feminine, that women are somehow more sacred. There's a phrase that's being used right now. You'll see it on t-shirts called the future is female. And this is the same women, since you deal with politics a lot on your show, David, you'll know this from statistics. These are women who will vote for any female running for office. They don't even care what her platform is. They don't even research what her platform is. They just vote for her because she's female or identifying female. And that's just crazy to think that just because someone's a female, that they're somehow elevated. I mean, just read the Bible about Jezebel. I mean, this is evil. And so we have to be very, very discerning to not think that we women are better than men, because in God's eyes, we are, both sexes are worthy. We just have different roles. Yes. And we have to also watch out for the lure of having power. These witchcraft spells do seem to work. New Age things do seem to work. Your professing Christian neighbor could recommend something to you that's witchcraft, sorcery, like vision boards, for example. People think that's Christian. They twist Habakkuk 2:2 to justify it. Be careful of anything where you're conjuring. Conjuring is sorcery. Conjuring is witchcraft. And that's not more power. That's actually the demons being counterfeits to fool you to think that you're getting power, when it's just a ruse. Yeah. And I was part of that. And I apologize if I misled anybody who followed me in the New Age. And I've repented to God, of course.
So there must be a fine line when it comes to the word faith, creative power in your words, taking authority over something in your life. Isn't that so? That's a Christian, well, might want to put that in air quotes. It's a Christian doctrine that some churches really believe in, some more deeply than others. And what you're explaining about these, even the goddesses, the truth about goddesses and the idolatry and wanting power, trying to create things with our words, that's not biblical, is it?
No. I mean, the Bible talks about that we were given the spirit of power, and that's the Holy Spirit, the indwelling Holy Spirit. Yeah. Given to every born-again Christian, is the only power we have. The only strength we have is strength in Christ. We on our own can do nothing apart from Christ.
Mm. Amen. And so how can you maybe encourage, well, both women and men, because we all, you know, we watch entertainment, whether it's sports, and we talk about idolatry, right? Sports. All right, we'll set that aside for the moment and just talk. Look at the obvious that you mentioned, Taylor Swift, at the very beginning of this podcast. I mean, you look at someone like that, and to me, I just see, I don't want to say demonic, but if she's not following Jesus, either you're for him or against him. Either it's the Holy Spirit that you're promoting and using and trying to push out there, or it's unholy spirits, demonic spirits. Can you speak to that briefly? We've got a lot of people that take in entertainment that is surely not Christian.
Yeah, we've got to guard our hearts, and that Amen. Means being careful what you listen to. The devil uses music to get inside of our minds and our hearts to try to lead us away from the Bible, away from the real Jesus, and to follow ourselves. So what Taylor Swift does is elevate the self. It sounds good. And for any woman who's been abused, and, you know, in psychology, we call it self-esteem, has been battered, it can feel good to think that, oh gosh, I'm elevated. I can do this. Here, I'm woman, hear me roar. That can feel good to a woman who's been absolutely beat down by circumstances or people in her life, but it's a false trap. It's like giving candy to us from a stranger. Don't take the bait. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and yes. do not lean on your own understanding. That's where it comes down to, is that through these storms in life, through feeling battered, being abused, abandoned, betrayed, I've gone through it all. We've got to lean on God and not our own self, or especially these occultic practices.
Thank you, Doreen. And as you said, I think what you say, we've got to spend more time in the Word of God than yeah. in entertainment and in all these other things. So, friends, praise God in the storm. That's one. Also, how to avoid New Age thought and deception. And, of course, biblical truth about goddesses. Fascinating. Two devotionals and that third book, Biblical Truth. Great stuff, Doreen. Thanks for putting these out there. Great resources. Lord willing, we'll do this again in the near future. Appreciate your time, sister.
Thank you, Brother David, and God bless you.
Thank you so much. Friends, goes by way too fast. God bless you, and as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.